Gertov, Chag Sameach. So good to see you all here and to celebrate with you. Wow, Israel at 74. It's a miracle every day, every year is a miracle. And we have to celebrate this year. Shivim ve'arba. So what I want to talk about is Rav Kook's version of Hatikva. I want to talk about Rav Kook's version of Hatikva. We're gonna slaughter a sacred cow here a little bit. But we're still going to eat it, okay? We're not going to throw it out. We're still going to, let me explain what I mean. What I have here, and this is a very short source sheet, is Hatikva as we know it, okay, in Hebrew and in English. And there's also something called Shir HaEmunah, which is the national anthem, if you will, that Rav Kook wrote as a contrast to Hatikva. And we're going to talk about some of the differences between them and draw out some key values from these and questions from these sources. Now, this is really going to be a two-part shiur. I'm going to do the second part of this Shabbat during post-Kiddush. We're going to talk about some other alternative versions of Hatikva. Let's talk a little bit quickly about the history of Hatikva. Anybody know who composed it? Anyone have any idea? I'll be impressed if somebody knows. Okay, Naftali Hertz Imber. Okay, Imber. In what year? In 1882. 1882, long before the establishment of the state. Imber, interestingly enough, was a Ukrainian Jew. Okay, and he was also known to be an alcoholic. So this is one reason why Theodor Herzl was not very excited about Hatikva being the national anthem. What about the tune itself? The tune was composed by...
I heard the tune is from Hungary.
The tune was composed by, I have it written down here, by Samuel Cohn, a Jewish Russian from Bessarabia. I'm not even sure where that is. Okay. Who wrote... he put the words to a Moldovan song, Karol Q. Bowie. Anyone, Colin? Anyone know that? Okay. And that was really based on another song, La Mantovana, which was by a Czech composer, Bedrick Smetana. Okay, there we go. Wow, I'm impressed. Only in this shul would anyone actually know that, okay? So Herzl really wasn't a fan of Hatikva, and he actually created a contest to see if alternative versions could be created, and, you know, nothing really happened from this. In fact, Hatikva was used against Herzl, because in the Sixth Zionist Congress in 1903, Herzl dies in 1904, but in 1903 they had a vote about Uganda. Now, anybody know, was the vote on Uganda split? Remember, there was a discussion about maybe we should go to Uganda instead of Eretz Yisrael. Anyone know what the numbers were? It's actually shocking what were the numbers? What were the votes like at the Sixth Zionist Congress regarding Uganda? The numbers were as follows. 295 voted in favor of Uganda. Again, not as an ideal, but as the best option. And 178 opposed. This 178 who opposed got up and they sang Hatikva as a form of protest. Good. And this is how Hatikva becomes, you know, takes on, a history of its own. In 1933, the Zionist Congress adopts it as the official anthem of the Zionist, the Zionist movement, Zionist Congress. And there are a number of stories of Jews singing Hatikva in Auschwitz, in the death camps. I actually listened to this online, a version of Hatikva being sung on the day that Bergen-Belsen was liberated.
Yeah.
It's incredible that they captured it. I didn't know YouTube was around then, but it's really really incredible. So when I think about Hatikva, what makes Hatikva special? Part of it is the content, which we'll talk about. Part of it is also what happened to it. I actually shared this example a few weeks ago or months ago. Why is Leonardo da Vinci so famous? Why is it so famous? There are many paintings of this sort where there's a woman and you can't really see, you know, what is she looking at? If anyone has seen the Mona Lisa, excuse me. If anyone's seen the Mona Lisa in the in the Louvre, it's actually this very small painting.
You have
to go up to it in order to see it. It's like, okay, what a big deal. And in the same room as the Mona Lisa, there are other paintings that would be also would sell for $500 million, and we just look right past them and we look to the Mona Lisa. What is it that happened to the Mona Lisa? The Mona Lisa, in fact, was was stolen. I think it was in 1911, the Mona Lisa was stolen, and they couldn't find it. They finally retrieved it, you know, 2 or 3 years later, and that's what built up the mystique of the Mona Lisa. There was a painting now with a story, which was in the news, and everyone was talking about it. And that built up its, you know, its prestige. In some ways, the same is true, lehavdil, between the Israeli flag and also the Kotel. Now, the Israeli flag, does the Israeli flag have any inherent Kedusha? Rav Soloveitchik very famously said it does have Kedusha, because Jewish soldiers, they took the Israeli flag and they stuck it into the ground to show that we have this piece of land right before the ceasefire it was already in 1949. And he says Jewish blood was shed fighting for this flag, and therefore he brings an example from the Shulchan Aruch. Unfortunately, in a situation where a Jew is persecuted and is killed, we actually bury him in his clothing with the blood. Instead of cleaning up and doing a tahara to the body, you bury the Jew visibly with his blood and his garments, because this is someone who was killed at Kiddush Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik says the same thing is true of the Israeli flag. Okay, now it becomes holy because of how we used it. It's not inherently kadosh, but it becomes holy because of the sacrifice, the mesirut nefesh of Am Yisrael. The same thing is true of the Kotel. The Kotel is the wall, the outer wall that's closest to the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Was the Kotel considered holy, if you will, in the year, you know, I don't know, 50 BC? Did anyone pray by the Kotel? No, nobody prayed by the Kotel. It was in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim itself is inherently holy, but the reason that the Kotel has taken on more and more holiness is because Jews have gone there and cried their hearts out for 2,000 years. And that gives it more kedusha because of the heart and the kedusha that we've brought to the place. Again, lehavdil. Now let's look at Hatikva, and I want to compare it to the Shir HaEmunah of Rav Kook. So let's look at the source sheet. Okay, kol od belevav pinima nefesh yudi homia. As long as in the heart, within, a Jewish soul still yearns. Okay, and the sentence isn't finished yet. Ulefate mizrach kadima, and onwards. Okay, towards the ends of the east. Okay, from the west towards the east. Ayin l'tzion sofia. An eye still gazes towards Tzion. So as long as there is this hope and this desire to return to Tzion, then od lo avda tikvatenu. Our hope is not lost. As long as someone is still yearning towards Eretz Yisrael and Tzion, our hope is not lost. Does that sound like positive, optimistic, pessimistic? What's that sound like to you?
Pretty
pessimistic, it's suggesting that, you know, as long as there's still someone who cares, we'll make it through. There's like a tiny hope. Exactly. What was the last Star Wars? Anyone remember what was the last? What was the third? When I talk about Star Wars, it's only the original three. I don't talk about anything else. Okay, everything else is okay. We don't talk about that. Okay, what's the original three? New Star Wars, Return of the Empire,
and
Empire Strikes Back,
and then Return of the Jedi.
But what, Obi-Wan Kenobi? You are our only new. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you. You're our only hope, right? Obi-Wan Kenobi, you are our only hope, right? The Jedi Knights were being exterminated by the Empire, okay? And there was just one, you know, it was Obi-Wan Kenobi and Luke Skywalker. That's what this sounds like. It's like, there's still a glimmer of hope as long as there's a Jew left in the world who still looks to Tzion. Hatikva, this hope, is how old? Is Bat Shnot Alpayim, is 2,000 years old. And what do we hope for? Liot am choshi ba'arzeinu, to be free in our land, Eretz Tzion v'Yerushalayim, the land of Tzion and Yerushalayim. Okay, let's analyze this a little bit. The refrain, the key word in this shir, in this song, is tikva, is hope. Okay, that's number one. Number two, how far back historically does this go? How far back? 2,000 years. Destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and Jewish sovereignty. And what are we hoping for? What are we dreaming for? To be a free nation. Are we dreaming for Mashiach? Are we dreaming for the Geula? Are we dreaming for, I don't know, Aliyah Lerega? What are we dreaming for? To be a free nation. That you said Shivat Zion. Is this Shivat Zion? Shivat Zion is a distinctly religious term. Okay, I'm teaching a shiurim. Okay, I'm teaching a series. We're studying Ezra Nechemiah on the women's Tanakh shiur on Wednesday mornings. And the general theme is Shivat Zion. Is this Shivat Zion? Interesting. It's interesting that you brought it up, Alex. I don't know. Okay. Liot am chofshi ba'arteinu, to be a free people in our land. Is that a religious vision or is that a secular vision?
Gam v'gam.
I'd
say it's both.
It's a secular vision. Why gam v'gam?
Because, well...
V'gam 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 v'gam, yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah? Why is it gam v'gam?
It's because it is a religious concept to have your own... So it's for sovereignty for the Jewish people within their own nation.
Okay. Yeah, Femo. Good. 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 Oh, wait. Chofesh is chayrut. Is that so true that chofesh is chayrut?
It could be.
I'm not so sure. No? It's an interesting, yeah, Pinchas? Nachon. And that's dafka chayrut. So Pinchas is quoting, according to Gemara, that, you know, with regards to the luchot, which were engraved. In the words of the luchot that were engraved into the tablets, and we learn from here that don't read it charut, which means engraved, rather chayrut. The Torah gives us freedom. Right to talk about this as we're in Sefirat Omer, leading up to Shavuot. Now let's look at Rav Kook's version of Hatikva. It's called Shir HaEmunah. He wasn't opposed to Hatikva. He didn't like say, oh, one shouldn't sing it, but he felt that this was a better version. And this, in fact, has become the anthem for, there's a youth group called Ariel. I don't know if Ariel, I don't even know if it exists in Ra'anana.
It doesn't exist.
But it exists in other places in the country.
In the Yehuda Ariel, Shimron,
you know, yeah, Ariel, it's, okay, so this is the anthem for Ariel. And he writes as follows, and it's clear, by the way, that some of the contrast, he's definitely sort of, writing to substitute some of the phrases in Hatikva. By the way, Hatikva was originally 11 stanzas. No one could remember it, so they shortened it, okay? So now, this is Rav Kook. La'ad chaya bilvavenu. Ha'emuna ha'ne'emana la'shuv el eret kocheinu irba David chana. So la'ad, eternally, chaya, eternally lives in our hearts. It's in the present. Bilvavenu. So notice, it's not kol od bilevav pnima. It's not in the lone soul that there is this hope, but bilvavenu, in all of our hearts, exists haemunah haneemana. What's the key phrase here, as opposed to hatikva? The key phrase is emunah. What is the difference between emunah and tikva? Okay, emunah is faith. Okay, tikva can also include faith, but not necessarily. Emunah is faith, which leads to hope and belief in the future and geula. Whereas is hope, it could be something that I hope that my team wins the World Cup, right? Hope doesn't necessarily have a religious tenor to it. What is my hope for? Now, in this sense, the hope is much more expansive for Rav Kook. Lashuv el Eretz Kocheinu, to return to our holy land. So it's not just Eretz Tzion v'Yerushalayim, but it's our holy land, Davka. Ir ba David Chana, the city that David HaMelech, that he captured and he settled. So this, in fact, is a reference to Psukim in Tanakh, Ir ba David Chana. But now we're going back to, not 2,000 years ago, to Jewish sovereignty. We're going back to much earlier, to David HaMelech, to the times of Tanakh. So Rav Kook's shir is rooted in Tanakh, as opposed to Hatikva, which is less rooted in Tanakh. Shama, what will we do when we get to Yerushalayim? Shama na'amod l'goralenu. There we will stand up for our and live through our destiny. Av Hamon kana. This is who's Av Hamon? Avraham. Okay, Av Hamon goyim netaticha. Kana, that he acquired. Okay, there's a land that Avraham acquired. So we're going back to Avraham Avinu. Okay. Shama nechaye chayinu, there we will live our life. Chaye adat mimana. What's chaye adat? The life of the Eda, meaning the people of Am Yisrael, mimana, who cannot be counted. Hashem says about us, mimana afar Yaakov. Okay, so again, a biblical reference to the fact that we cannot be counted. Shaman avod elokeinu. There, there in Eretz Yisrael, we will worship our God bechadva begida uvir nana, with joy, with happiness, with song. Shamanale liraglenu. There we'll go on pilgrimage shalosh pamim bashana, three times a year, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Torat chayim chemdatenu. The Torah is our desire. It's our life. Mipi alyon nitana. It was given nitana. It was given from on high, from Hashem. Netzach hi nachalatenu. It is our eternal inheritance. Mimidbar matana. It was a gift in the midbar. Okay. Now, what are the things that Rav Kook is hoping for, that we hope for in this year? Not number one, it's to return to our land, but that's just the beginning stage. We're returning to our land, but then in our land, we're going to live our lives. Okay, in the land of Abraham Avinu, there we're going to worship Hashem with joy. We're going to come to Har Habayit, we're going to come to Yerushalayim three times a year. We're going to study and embrace the Torah, which was given to us in the Midbar. Okay, so Rav Kook is expanding this Hatikva in many ways. Number one, he's expanding it. We're going back to Abraham. We're going back to David HaMelech. We're going back to times of Tanakh. And in terms of that, that's in the past. And in the future, we're expanding upon the vision for the future. Okay, the vision for the future includes Aliyah LeRegel, the Torah. It includes, you know, our Gorel. Gorel is also a very religious term. Our destiny. Mashiach, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and it includes returning to Eretz Kodshenu, not just to our land. There's also a reference to the Midbar. The Torah which was given in the Midbar, and then which we will fulfill in Eretz Yisrael, Ki Mitzion Te Torah, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. We receive the Torah in the Midbar, but we're supposed to bring it to Eretz Yisrael and fulfill it in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. But here is the fundamental difference between these two songs. The vision of Hatikva is to be free in our land. Now, you could be free, but what is the substance of that freedom? What are you doing with that freedom? To be free is wonderful, but then what do you do with it? In Judaism, we receive freedom, we achieve freedom from the Mitzrayim, but we run towards being Ovdei Hashem. We leave one thing to run towards something else. Hatikva stops in the middle. Liot chofshi ba'artzeinu, but it doesn't, you know, sort of ask for more. So it's not that Hatikva is, it's not problematic. It's just not complete. You understand? There's more that we could add to it. The way I think about this is to be very charitable here, the machloka between Rav and Shmuel in Masach HaPsachim about how do you tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim? Do you start from Avadim Ayinu LeParo B'Mitzrayim, that's Shmuel Shita, okay, and then we were redeemed, we became a free people, versus Rav, who says, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Yu Avotenu. Is the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim a story about political redemption or religious redemption? In our Haggadah, we actually synthesize both of them. We have both Shmuel and Rav, because it was both a story of political emancipation and religious redemption. And Rav Kook's story focuses more on the religious redemption. Hatikva focuses a little bit more on the political redemption. In this sense, they really do, they really can and do complement each other. But Rav Kook's version is much more complete in terms of what we hope, what we dream for. Yes?
I just want to say that it just doesn't say only Chofshi, but it says Am Chofshi. And I think it's good, and I don't have to convince anyone here, yeah, because we do sing Hatikva, and I think it's important to stress that in order that we can serve Hashem, we first of all had to guard our country, which is pro-Tzahal. So Am Chofshi could be a symbol of serving in the army. Hmm. And first, if we know that we can be Am Chofshi, then we can serve Hashem.
Yafe. So I want to sharpen what you're saying. I see Hatikva and Shir HaEmunah being complementary.
Exactly.
That Hatikva captures sort of the first goal. We had to establish a country. We had to build a Medina, and we are forever, forever thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this great gift, and to all the Jews, Shemasru Nafsham, all the Jews who fought in Tzahal and built all the Yishuvim and settled the land last 150 years and beyond that. We are forever, forever thankful to all those who built Medinat Yisrael, but we also aim for... We aim for more. We want to build the next shlev, and that's the work that we have before us. And we'll just conclude with a short piece here from Orot Ra'ya. migamatenu hi tamin mechuven lo lo rakli higa el mitoch mitraim lo achli trapod makot li natzam mi madvim lo rak latzed mi mizgerot auni un mashche ha'ivaron. Our goal is not just to be redeemed from Egypt. Okay. Rather, go to the next paragraph. But we want to fill ourselves with greatness. Osher gadol b'neshama, to fill up our souls. Chaim ra'anani mele'im zara b'chol pinot she'anu ponim. Eden ve'oneg ein kitz b'chol neshama she'anu noshmim. Rav Kook is saying here, not only do we want to be redeemed from Mitzrayim, but we want to be filled with something much more positive, with the light of the Torah, with light. We not only do we want to leave the darkness, but we want to come to the light itself. And it keeps going. Kodesh Hakodeshim, Mikor Yisrael, Mikor Nishmatel Yonam, Mikor Avat Oneg, Tzur Lamim, etc., etc. And he ends off. Mi chamocha am nosha badunai, Ashrecha Yisrael, Ashrecha, Ashrecha. Praiseworthy are you, Am Yisrael. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we hope that this year, Shnat Tavshin Pebet, the 74th year of Medinat Yisrael, that we will come a little bit closer towards fulfilling this larger, broader vision of Geula, as captured in the Shir HaEmunah of Rav Kook. Chag Sameach L'Kulam, and thank you everybody for participating.